Everyone, this is Bob Main. Thank you for tuning in to the Handgun World Show, episode number 10. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. They're a little too heavy these days. Again, thanks for tuning in to episode 10 of the Handgun World Show. And if you are listening to the Handgun World Show for the first time, I want to let you know you have tuned in to a practical firearms show. We talk about owning and shooting handguns. We talk about the practical aspects of it, a little bit about ammo. Every once in a while I do a show about long guns, but I am a concealed carry holder. I am a strong believer in the Second Amendment, and I think the more gun owners we have in the hands of law-abiding citizens, the better off that we are going to be, the safer we're going to be. It is a proven fact that states that allow concealed carry of handguns have seen many of the areas of crime go down. Statistics show that, and they prove that over and over again. So, episode 10 is dedicated to the Car Arms family of pistols. You notice that the last few shows that I've done, I have been reviewing some different pistols. Last one was the Glock 19, and I reviewed Glocks as a brand, and I also reviewed 1911s as a design of pistol. There's a coming up in a couple other shows I'm going to do in the near future. I am going to review a couple of specific 1911 pistols, but this show, some of you have been waiting for it. You've actually put a comment on the blog, and I'm sorry, I kind of got a little carried away there. I wanted to review the Glock 19 for you, and but now I'm finally getting around to talking about Car Arms. And if some of you are new to handguns, Car is spelled K-A-H-R. No, I'm not talking about my vehicle, as in car that I drive. I'm talking about the Car Arms, K-A-H-R, Arms. Wonderful little pistols. I want to review these. They're, in my opinion, they're some of the most underrated handguns in the world. They're very high quality, very accurate, very easy to conceal, and I just don't know why they don't enjoy some of the popularity that they should, because I'm having a hard time finding a whole lot wrong with these little beauties. So that's what we're going to talk about. There's several models of them. I'm going to focus in on two or three models in particular. If you go back and look at the posting for today's show, I will put some links as to where you can find Car's website and have a couple of other good write-ups on the Car pistols. Before we get into the meat of this show, a couple of announcements I want to get out of the way. The website is www.handgunworld.com. The Handgun World website and show is kind of a subsidiary of my survival show that I do. I do a show called Today's Survival Show, and it's on self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-preparedness, survival-type topics. It's a good show. I want to invite you to listen to that as well. I reserve the Handgun World show strictly, obviously, for gun matters. Firearms is a big part of survival, but then there's also so much in firearms that's involved in the actual guns, the ammo, and I figured I wanted to just create a whole show by itself dedicated to firearms. So that's what Handgun World is. But I want to extend an invitation for you to also learn how to become more self-sufficient in your life, and check out www.todayssurvival.com. And so that pretty much is about all I wanted to talk about on the announcements. Let's dive right into the meat of it, and let's talk about these little Car pistols. First of all, these guns and this manufacturer is not without its controversy. That's for sure. And one of the reasons why Car Arms is somewhat controversial is because they are a pistol company, a pistol manufacturer that has been founded by a guy named Justin Moon. Justin Moon's father is the Reverend Sun Young Moon, who was the part of the Unification Church founder. And, you know, Sun Young Moon is a controversial figure. And so I think undeservedly a lot of people heap a bunch of criticism on Car Arms simply because, you know, they don't like the religious beliefs of the Unification Church. And, you know, I don't like the religious beliefs of the Unification Church either. But this is not about religion. This is about self-defense. This is about pistols and guns that can help save our lives. So quite frankly, if you want to know my opinion, and folks, let me tell you, every once in a while, my opinion is going to come through on this show. When you're in the podcasting business like this, you can't do shows like this without injecting some of your opinion. So forgive me if you don't agree with everything I say. I could care less who makes a pistol. All right, I just care that it works. I just care that it accomplishes its intended purpose, and I care most of all that it saves my life. You know, there's a lot of controversy about Glock. You know, Gaston Glock, his business practices are not all that terrific. There's a lot of controversy about his business practices. I guess there's some tax issues about that company and some legal issues. I mean, come on, let's face it, folks. What firearms manufacturer has not been controversial at some point? And I read all kinds of internet forums and internet boards, people picking on manufacturers because, well, you know, so-and-so has not supported the Second Amendment fully. I've heard some manufacturers criticized because they have engaged in some anti-firearms legislation. Okay, that, you know, that's fair criticism. All right. But I don't think it's you. If you want to go ahead and criticize their business practices and their politics, that's one thing. But no, don't knock the gun itself unless you've got some negative experience with it. Now, if the gun has malfunctioned or not served you properly, or if it's just not living up to its reputation as a mechanical device, then I can understand. But just because you don't like the son of a controversial figure who started this company, I don't think is a real fair criticism. Just my opinion. But I wanted to throw that out there. And let you make your own decision. But you got my opinion on that. Now, Car Arms specializes in making real compact pistols. Compact and mid-sized pistols, and most of their chamberings are 9mm, 40, and 45, 45 ACP. Let's talk about some of the advantages first. We'll cover advantages and disadvantages, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the design of the pistols themselves. Advantage of Car Arms pistols, they're thin, very thin. That's what I really like. When concealing a pistol, especially something that you're going to carry, thin and light is a very good thing. Especially if you're going to carry inside the waistband. You can't put a big enough price tag on thin. Why are they thin? Because all Car Arms pistols are single-stack design. In other words, for those of you who might be new to firearms, single-stack means when you put the bullets in the magazine, they are singly stacked on top of one another. Glocks and Springfield XDs, guns like that, Smith & Wesson M&Ps, those are double-stack pistols. When you put the bullets in the magazine, they're doubly stacked side by side. It makes them thicker, especially the grip area. And folks, if you haven't figured it out already, the grip is the hardest part of the gun to conceal. When it's in your holster, it's the grip that sticks out. The thinner the grip, the easier it is to conceal. Also, the thinner the overall pistol is, of course, the more comfortable it is when you put it inside your waistband. So, that's the beauty of Car pistols. Very few pistols out there are thinner than the Car Arms in their respective calibers. Now, Walther just recently came out with the Walther PPS. I'm going to do a review on that probably in a couple of weeks once I've had a chance to go to a range and shoot one of those. Walther's probably the only manufacturer of major caliber handguns that makes them thinner than car. Now, I'm talking about semi-automatics. And that's another beautiful thing, is that all the car arms pistols are semi-automatics. So semi-automatics, by nature, are thinner than revolvers. Most semi-autos are thinner than revolvers because they don't have that fat cylinder that that feeds all the rounds in. So the thinness of them, I can't overstate that. If you get a chance, go to a gun range that sells guns, and just ask them to show you a nice car arms pistol. I'm going to talk about two in particular, two that I own, and I have plenty of experience with these. The Car Arms PM9, model P as in Paul, M as in Michael, 9. Now, most of Car Arms pistols are model numbers T, K, or P, and PM. The T-series pistols are usually target-type pistols, and they're not real popular because car's not real known very well as a target pistol. A lot of the K-series, I think those were some of the original Car Arms pistols, most of those are metal-framed. Means they're a little bit heavier. Still just as thin, but they're metal framed. So they're going to be a little bit heavier. And weight is big in concealed carry, too. That's a, you know, a nice light pistol is very important. The P series and the PM series are polymer framed pistols. Polymer similar to the polymer that Glock uses in theirs makes them very light and very, very thin. I'm going to talk about the PM9. It's a 9mm, super compact, very small. Actually, I'm opening my hand right now and I have my unloaded Car Arms PM9 in my hand, and it's shorter than the length of my hand when my hand is open. It's considerably. It's probably about an inch and a half shorter. Well, actually, close to 2 inches shorter than my. And I have average size hands. I don't have real large hands. So the beauty of this little Car Arms PM9, I'll put a picture of it in the show posting, is that it's very small, very lightweight, very thin. I barely even notice it's there when I put it. When I carry this inside the waistband in my High Noon Mr. Softy holster, I very easily forget. Now, I tell you what, folks, for me, carrying a gun every day is a way of life. To me, it's part of my wardrobe. So I put it on like I put on my cell phone and put on everything else. So I just plop this little thing inside my waistband, and I'd have to say probably now my Car Arms PM9 has become the most carried gun that I own, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But the advantages, besides being thin and light, a couple of others. All Car Arms pistols, no manual safety. Just like Glocks, just like Springfield XDs, some of the others out there that are like that, no manual safety. If you've listened to any of my other shows, you know I am not a big fan of manual safeties for a carrying pistol. I'm not going to take up too much time at today's show talking about that. You can go back and listen to some of the other shows that I've done. Go to the previous 9 episodes and you will hear me several times talk about why I don't like to have a manual safety on a concealed carry pistol. I think it's an advantage. Some of you might disagree with me. That's okay. But I think it's an advantage not having a manual safety. One of the other things I like about the Car Arms pistol that I think is a huge advantage is it is double action only. In other words, there's some good safety reasons of the double action only trigger. And one of the safety aspects of the double action trigger is that it's a lot more difficult to inadvertently fire a shot. And that can be a bad thing. If you fire when you don't want to, not only is it unsafe, but you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. So, technically, the Car Arms is what they call a Browning locked breech design. I won't get too technical with you, but it's a striker-fired pistol. And it's got what's called a passive firing pin safety. So there is a firing pin safety in there. If the gun's dropped, it's not going to go off. So it's got plenty of safety to it. It's a hammerless design. And what happens is when the trigger is pulled, this is why it's called double action. When the trigger's pulled, the trigger bar begins to rotate what's called a cocking cam. And the cocking cam is what actually cocks the pistol, and then the farther you pull back the trigger, it also eventually releases the striker, and that strikes the primer and fires the round. So basically what you're doing is you're performing two actions. You're cocking the pistol and compressing the spring behind it, and then it's actually allowing the firing pin to go forward extremely fast and hit the primer. That's pretty much the best way that I can explain that. I'm trying to keep this simple. So basically, at the end of the trigger travel, the lobe in there that contacts the striker slips off the striker and releases it. That's about the best way I can explain it. Now, how this is safer than, for example, a Glock pistol, although I think Glock pistols are very safe, and I have no problem carrying them. Some folks think that it's a little bit safer with a car because when the gun is in ready mode, in other words, when you have a round chambered, the gun's not pre-cocked. So by pulling the trigger, you're fully cocking the gun, and at the same time, making that cam rotate, and then, of course, you know, release that the striker and the firing pin. It's not pre-cocked. Some people don't think that the Glock is as safe as a car pistol, because Glocks are probably, I would say, about a third of the way at least cocked already when the gun is in the ready position. Now, another good part of the design of the car pistol is because of the way it's engineered, it actually allows the firing pin block to be located farther to the rear of the slide than, for example, like a Glock. And the benefit of this is it helps prevent some of the contamination that can occur from the gas combustion, also called fouling. So a lot of the junk that comes out of the round after the bullet's fired doesn't blow back as bad into the firing pin area. This helps keep it cleaner and a lot more reliable. Now let's talk a little bit about reliability. For some reason I can't figure out. You got to be real careful what you read on the internet. Okay, when somebody starts criticizing a gun, ask them if they own it. I like to put posts on internet boards asking people who criticize a gun if they actually own one. Now, if somebody actually does own one and puts some negative criticism, okay, so be it. But some people knock cars' reliability. I don't know why. I've owned this PM9 for nearly 4 years. I have had one failure in 4 years, and I've probably got around 3,000 rounds through it. And the failure I had was in about the first 300 rounds. Their tolerances, the tolerances of a car are real tight. And for you new gun owners, what that means is that the parts don't move around very easily inside this gun. The barrel doesn't move around real easily, and all the parts just come together, and they come together real tight. And sometimes this reduces the accuracy. A Glock fits together a lot more loosely than many other pistols. Now, Glocks are ultra reliable. Well, I tell you what, one failure in 3,000 rounds or 4,000 rounds, somewhere around there. I practice a lot with this gun, by the way, folks, which I would urge all of you to do. Practice. I'll take that. And like I said, that happened in the first few hundred rounds. So I fired thousands of rounds of 9mm ammo through this of all type. It has no problem digesting hollow points. I've used about 6 different brands of hollow points. Not a problem at all. My favorite round, the Corban DPX 9mm, it feeds them perfectly. I have not had, I think I've run about 150 rounds of Corban DPX through it. And folks, that's expensive. You know, it's very expensive. But I value my life quite a bit. So I've heard people say, well, I don't want to fire 150 rounds of that expensive concealed carry ammunition through my gun. That's expensive. Let me just take a side note here, folks. How much is your life worth? You got to think about that. I really don't think you should carry a pistol unless you've run at least 150, preferably 200 rounds of the ammo that you're going to carry. Run that through your gun. Make sure that it's reliable. Okay, personal opinion, but I think conventional wisdom pretty much supports that, and I think you're going to find that to be true in a lot of cases, that that's a good idea. 150 to 200 rounds of your favorite concealed carry. This has digested Corban DPX 9mm, no problem. So I've had great reliability with my car arms. It's an extremely well-built handgun. If you take this thing apart... The polymer frame, I kind of thought was a little bit flimsy at first, but it's only flimsy after you take the gun apart. What's really cool about this is that once you put the gun together, it tightens everything up, and it's kind of a cool design. It's a little bit different. You've got reinforced. You have steel reinforcements in the polymer, okay? Inside the dust cover of the weapon, you have steel reinforcements, which reinforce the front end of the pistol. And then it also, in the back end of the frame, you have steel inserts that guide the metal slide. So you have plenty of good hard steel where it matters most. The barrel on car arms pistols are phenomenal. The barrels are very, very well built. And all you got to do is take one of these things apart. I'm serious, folks. Just field strip a car and you'll see how much quality it is. I like the smooth face trigger on the car. Now, what's a smooth face trigger? Well, one thing I don't like about Glocks too much is on a Glock especially, it's got a little trigger safety, and it's a little protrusion on the front of the trigger that has to be pulled back before the gun will fire. And I think the thinking behind that when Glock designed that is that if the trigger happens to get caught on a piece of clothing, for example, if you don't have your finger actually in there pulling back that little trigger safety, the gun's not going to fire. Well, Carr doesn't put that on their pistols. So what I like about it is the front of the trigger is real smooth and comfortable. That's why they call it a smooth face trigger. Well, it's nice and smooth and comfortable, and that really makes a big difference when you're shooting. Plus, the trigger is very wide. Now, why is that important? Well, the reason you want a wide trigger is it actually makes the trigger feel easier to pull. When you're pulling the trigger, you're spreading that pressure across a wider surface. So it makes it, if this trigger was thinner, it would make the perceived pull a lot harder, the trigger pull a lot harder. Now, the actual how many pounds of pressure does it take? I think, if I'm not mistaken, Carr's website says 6 pounds of pressure. Folks, it doesn't feel like that. Not at all. Doesn't feel like 6 pounds of pressure. And again, I told you, I've shot multiple thousands of rounds through mine, so the trigger loosens up. Like with every pistol I own, I give every pistol I own a 1,000-round trigger job. I don't care how much it costs me, I give them a 1,000-round trigger job. Well, it's loosened up a lot after multiple thousands of rounds. So that's the other thing that I like about it. But the smooth face, wide trigger on this pistol, I think, is a huge asset. The other thing I like about Carr is its simplicity. It's a very simple gun. They've got this thing almost as simple as a Glock. When you field strip it, you'll know what I mean. You know, basically when you field strip it, you got your slide, you got your recoil spring, you got your barrel, you got your takedown lever, which also... In fact, what's interesting is that the slide stop and the takedown lever is kind of all one piece with the car. So that also, I think, it adds to the simplicity of it. Sights, the out-of-the-box sights, I'm still using the out-of-the-box sights on mine right now. I'm considering changing the sights, and here's another benefit of the car. Arms, pistol. There's a lot of different sights being made for it. I like XS Big Dot sights. XS Big Dot sights. I'll put a link in today's show postings in case you don't know what those are. Well, XS makes Big Dot sights for the car pistols. Now, only for the P-Series pistols. There's a series out there called the CW series. CW9, CW40, and CW45. Those do not have a removable front sight. I'm not a real big fan of the car CW series. You might disagree with me, but I like to have sights that are interchangeable so I can change and put whatever I want on there. The P-Series, the K-Series, and the T-Series of pistols, you can change out the sights. I'm going to put some XS Big Dot sights on here. I think that's a plus to have that ability, but I got to tell you, the out-of-the-box sights are pretty good. what I like is I call them dot the eye sights. You got a white dot in the front and one white dot in the back, and you dot the eye and pull the trigger. So basically you put that front sight on what you want to shoot, dot the eye with the dot in the rear, and pull the trigger, and they're very accurate. I tested this at the range a couple weeks ago at 15 yards, and as long as you practice good trigger control, which means a gentle, slow, steady squeeze of the trigger, you don't yank the trigger, you gently squeeze the trigger until it breaks, pretty accurate at 15 yards. I was getting about, you know, 2.5-3 inch groups at 15 yards, and I could have done better if I would have concentrated a little bit more. I had some people distracting me. This gun is very bit capable, I think, of a couple of inches at 20 yards. More than enough accuracy for a double action concealed carry pistol. Now, let's talk about the double action again a little bit more, because I forgot about something when I was talking about the trigger. If some of you are a revolver shooter, or you're used to shooting revolvers, you will love the Carr pistols. They feel like a very, very smooth revolver with a finely tuned trigger. The trigger pull is actually shorter than a double-action revolver pull. In other words, when I say shorter, the trigger doesn't travel as far to fire the weapon as it does with a revolver. Okay? Now, it's a longer trigger pull than the Glock. So, in the Glock podcast that I did, you know how I talked about the fabulous reset and the short reset of the Glock? Here's some of the disadvantages of the Carr. It has a very long reset. So, after you fired a shot, you have to let that trigger out a long ways for it to reset and fire another shot. Okay, for rapid firing, that makes it a little bit more difficult. But practice fixes that pretty easily. I can rapid fire pretty well with my Carr PM9. Now, I guess some people would say it's a somewhat of a disadvantage, the fact that it only holds 8 rounds max. It comes with 2 different magazines. It comes with a real short magazine that holds 6 rounds that fits very flush with the bottom of the grip. So it's excellent for pocket carry. And this is a fabulous pocket carry gun. I'm about ready to get to that in a few minutes. That holds 6, and if you got one in the chamber, you got 7 rounds. It comes with another magazine with an extension on the bottom of it that holds 7 rounds in the magazine plus 1 in the gun is 8. 8 is the max. Now, I guess that's a disadvantage. I'm a big fan of high capacity, but I got to tell you something. Okay? I don't feel very undergunned with this pistol. 8 rounds and 9mm, I should be able to get myself out of most situations. The great thing about this is this gun can go anywhere with me. It's so concealable, so thin, so nice, and so pocketable that people don't know I have it with me, which means I can take it more and I'm willing to carry it more. That is a huge plus. Some people are just not willing to carry a big high-capacity gun. And if you're not willing to carry it, what good is it except for a home defense weapon? But some folks think that that low capacity is a disadvantage. So I wanted to point that out. Again, I personally don't think it's a disadvantage. I got no problem carrying it whatsoever. It's fine with me. Some people perceive that to be a disadvantage. The other disadvantage is, or perceived disadvantage, if you're using the flush magazine, in other words, the magazine that fits flush with the bottom of the grip, you can't get all 3 fingers around that grip. You can only get 2 of them on the grip, which means your pinky is dangling when you're shooting the gun. Now, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me because I've practiced like crazy. And besides that, if you're properly gripping a pistol, your middle finger and your ring finger are the most important parts of your grip anyway. All right, so practice a good grip, and I'm going to link another video to how to grip a pistol. There's some excellent instructors that show you the proper way to grip a pistol. Some people, one of the big problems, one of the biggest reasons why they don't shoot accurately is they've got a horrible grip. And some people have been watching too much Hollywood out there. I made a comment to my wife the other day. We were watching a movie. And, I wish Hollywood would train some of these actors on how to properly grip a handgun. Some of these actors in Hollywood that are in the movies that are gripping handguns don't know what the heck they're doing. So don't follow what you see on TV. Take a look at the video that I post in the show notes on how to grip a pistol, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The middle finger and the ring finger the most important parts of your grip. Now, I'll tell you a little secret to help improve that disadvantage. Okay? And again, I only use the flush magazine if I'm pocket carrying. If I'm belt carrying, I put in the extended magazine, and then, of course, with the extended magazine, you can get your pinky resting on that grip as well, and you've got a place for your pinky. So it feels like you've got a full-size handgun when you put that extended magazine in the car PM9. But here's the little secret I wanted to share with you. I just take some skateboard tape. I take some medium-grade skateboard tape, not the real rough stuff, just some medium-rough skateboard tape, and I put it on what's called the front strap, the front of the grip, where my middle finger and my ring finger go. That helps me maintain a real good positive grip right there, and it doesn't slide at all. This pistol does not slide out of my hand with that skateboard tape on it. So put a little skateboard tape. Skateboard tape is very, very cheap. For a couple bucks, you can get enough skateboard tape to last you 3-4 years, at least, if you shoot a lot. And it sticks to the polymer frame real good. Take an alcohol swab and rub all the grease and all the fingerprints and everything off of the polymer grip first. Let it dry. Don't touch the grip. And then put the skateboard tape where you want it. And it'll stick real well. And some people, I've seen people completely wrap their grip in skateboard tape. You could do that too if you want. That helps me maintain a real good positive grip. This pistol does not slip out of my hands at all with that on there. And again, it makes it real good to pocket it when I have the flush magazine. I also put a little bit of skateboard tape on the magazine extension on the longer magazine. It helps keep my pinky stable when I'm shooting as well. So that's another little secret that I'll share with you. But some folks think that not being able to put your pinky on the grip is a disadvantage. I don't think so, but some people think that's a disadvantage. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, the other disadvantage about the P series of car pistols is you got some people out there saying, wow, it's a plastic gun. And they like to make fun of plastic guns. Well, let me refer you to Glock. All right, Glocks have been doing their job for quite a long time, and they've been serving a lot of law enforcement and military for a real long time. So if you think that this is a cheap plastic gun that is not worth anything, I think you're being kind of narrow-minded. That's just my personal opinion. There are metal frame cars, though. If you really want to have a steel gun, get any of the K-series. You're going to add some weight to it, but you can have a steel frame gun, and you can have all the benefits of the car. Back to some of the positives. The polymer frame makes this PM9 about 15 ounces unloaded. So that's not very heavy. About 15 ounces unloaded. And then you add 8 rounds of 9mm to it, it's not very heavy. So I can carry this thing all day long. It's got a 3-inch barrel. Another disadvantage, some people might think, well, that's a pretty short barrel. Yeah, it is. It's a short barrel. Okay. You know, it's not a 5-inch 1911 by any means. But, you know, these things are very accurate. And let's face it, accuracy is the most important thing, not barrel length. All right. I still think 3 inches is enough with good modern ammunition like Corban DPX 9mm. I'll still get some decent expansion. Those bullets, the way they're designed and the way that round is designed, I got no problem with it. Federal Hydra Shock should do pretty well. Speer Gold Dots. Actually, Speer makes a 9mm round specifically designed for guns like this. Check out the Speer Gold Dot, specially designed for short-barreled handguns. It exists. And this gun also comes in .40 caliber. And let me talk about the Carr Arms 45s. Carr makes some really cool 45s. I'm very strongly considering getting the P45. It's a polymer-framed, very compact 45. They also have the PM version. Whenever you see a PM, PM is a little bit smaller than the P series of pistols. I'm considering getting a P45 because I want a little bit larger gun than the PM series when I carry and shoot a 45. Personal preference. I went to the range a couple months ago and I shot both a P45 and a PM45, and they are awesome. Everything is the same. Same trigger, same mechanical parts, same everything I've just described, but it chambers the wonderful 45 ACP round. And again, no manual safety. So it's a real nice, very thin, very light 45 caliber handgun with the venerable stopping power of a 45. I think the P45, don't hold me to this, but it's right around 3.7-inch barrel. So you're going to get decent expansion. And, you know, like the old saying is, a 9mm might expand, but a 45 never shrinks, right? So, you know, if your 45 doesn't expand, okay, so what? It's still a pretty darn big bullet, even if it doesn't expand. I think you're probably going to be able to stop whatever's coming towards you fairly easily. So consider the P45 as well if you just have to have the 45. But I got no problem with the 9mm. I'm very happy with it, and it lets me keep what I call the commonality of ammo, because my other handguns are 9mm, so I get to stock up on lots of 9mm, and all my handguns shoot pretty much the same round, except for one, which I'm about to talk to here pretty quick in a little while. So that pretty much kind of wraps up what I wanted to say about the Carr PM9. Fabulous little pistol, my most carried handgun, and I absolutely love it. Now, let's talk about my second Carr pistol. Carr just came out. They started shipping in large quantities back in February. Their new 380. So I want to talk about the Carr P380. Little pocket size 380 handguns are really popular these days. And because they fit in the pocket, they look like a wallet when they're in your pocket and they're in a good pocket holster. They look just like you're carrying a wallet. And it's really good. Matter of fact, the Carr P380 is smaller than my wallet. I'm holding it up against my wallet right now. I carry a pretty good size wallet, and it's smaller, folks. So I never really tested that before until I did this podcast. But sure enough, smaller than a wallet. Same thing as the PM9. Just smaller, lighter, and of course, shoots a 380 round. Now, for some of you that may not know, a 380 is the same diameter as a 9mm. In fact, the 380 is actually called the 9mm short. It's just not loaded to the same level of power. It's not as hot loaded, as we call it. So it doesn't have quite as much power as a 9mm. But I got to tell you, Corban DPX makes some real nice 380 ammo, and that's what I carry in this. And you don't want to be on the receiving end of my 380 with Corban DPX. I'll just put it that way. And again, I'll put some more specs on that on the show posting. But the little Carr Arms P380, love it. All the same advantages that I just talked about, the PM9. Some of the disadvantages of the 380, the Carr P380. Well, you know, first of all, you've got the stigma of the 380. People say, well, it's underpowered. Again, I don't think so. But I'm going to put that out there because some people think it's a disadvantage. The other disadvantage is no extended magazine. So there's no place for your pinky. Now, what I did with this little guy, and I think I might do with the PM9 also, is after I put the skateboard tape, I also get a Hogue rubber grip. And I put the Hogue rubber grip and I slip it right over the grip and right over the skateboard tape. So what I get by doing that is the skateboard tape helps hold that rubber grip in place under recoil. It helps keep that in place and it gives me a little bit bigger grip, but it doesn't compromise the concealability of this gun. So it makes the gun maybe an eighth of an inch thicker. Maybe. That's about it. About an eighth of an inch thicker. But for that eighth of an inch, I get a nice, very grippy rubber grip. It's the best way I can describe it. And it keeps the gun very stable in my hand. Again, I don't mind the pinky dangling off the end of the grip. I'm used to shooting that way, and I practice, but some people think it's a disadvantage. Now, some of the advantages of this 380. Oh, by the way, one more disadvantage before I get to the positives. It's a little pricey. When they first came out, they were around $650. I've seen them now for about $599. Okay? I got my PM9 for less than $500, which isn't too bad for a real nice quality handgun. The 380s, you shop around, you can get them for about $550 plus tax, $560 plus tax, somewhere in that neighborhood. I got mine when they first came out. But you just can't beat this gun, I think, for the price. And here's some of the benefits of this little guy. It has real sights, folks. Real sights. One of the reasons I like this 380, better than the Ruger LCP and much better than the Kel-Tec 380, is that the Ruger LCP and the Kel-Tec 380, their sights are horrible. I mean, they got these, the sights are built into the slide, and you can't even pick up the front sight very well. Now, some people say, well, on a little gun like that, Bob, why would you need a front sight? Okay, you're going to be point shooting it. This is for bad breath distance anyway. When someone is, you know, 8 feet away from you, you can smell their bad breath. That's what these guns are for. True. So maybe sights aren't that big of a deal. But I'd rather have a sight, have a real sight, than not have it at all. And Carr also tells me, I called them and I verified this, Carr tells me that soon, hopefully, and they said 4 or 5 months, they're going to start making night sights for this little P380. Maybe XS might make their big dot sights for it, I don't know. But Carr is going to make some nice Meprolite night sights for it. And Meprolite night sights aren't bad. They're not ideal, but you can't do that with a Ruger LCP or with a Kel-Tec P380. Those sights are built right into the slide. You're not changing them. Okay? So the Carr has a dovetail front sight, and it's got a removable rear sight, so once they come out with the night sights, I can put that on there. Nice little feature. That's one big plus right there to the P380. Also, this little sucker is accurate. Very accurate. For some reason, I can't figure out. I can shoot the 380 more accurate than I can shoot the 9mm. I'm not sure why. You know, maybe it has something to do with less recoil, and I can get faster follow-up shots. Accuracy will stop an attacker much more than anything else, folks. I keep hammering that point, but it's true. So it's highly accurate, this little thing. And also the trigger pull is lighter. I don't know why, because the trigger is designed exactly the same way. But I've actually taken a trigger pull gauge, and I've measured it, and it's about a half a pound lighter than the trigger on the Carr PM9. And I've actually shot a Carr P45. Those have a little bit lighter trigger tube. Not quite sure. I've run about 1,400 rounds through this P380. So I've given it the 1,000-round trigger job, and the trigger even lightened up even a little bit more. The trigger travel is the same length. Trigger travel means it has to travel the same distance as the PM9, but still shorter than a revolver. So I got to tell you, folks, I'm having a hard time finding a disadvantage to this 380. I really am. I'm having a real hard time finding anything wrong with it. About the only thing I can find wrong with it is the price. It's not going to fit. $560 is not going to fit into everybody's budget, and I understand that. And I'm not saying if you want a pocket pistol, I'm not saying don't go buy a Ruger LCP or a Kel-Tec P380. I used to have a Kel-Tec P380. But if you can afford the extra money, this Carr is well worth the money that you pay for it. So I'll put a picture in the show posting of my Carr P380 as well. Great little gun, and because it is a Carr Arms product, it takes down, takes apart, just like any of the other Carr Arms products out there. Like I said, just can't find hardly any negatives about this thing. Just love the fact that it's smaller than my wallet, and this is a gun that probably gets carried 30% of my time, because there are some times I do have to pocket carry, especially when I'm wearing a tucked-in shirt. That's when I pocket carry, when I have to wear a tucked-in shirt. So this thing slides into my DeSantis Nemesis pocket holster, and nobody knows. It's really awesome. I mean, again, I'm trying to find some negatives about this gun. I guess, here's one I guess you could say is a negative. It's a 2.5-inch barrel. 2.25-inch, I think. 2.25-inch barrel. So that's a short barrel. Sight radius is real short. Sight radius is probably just a little over 4 inches. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to take 20-yard shots with this very accurately. All right, this is an up-close and personal gun. Yes, it is. It's an up-close and personal. I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's not going to be very accurate at long ranges, but better than nothing at long ranges. This gun was not designed to be a long-range target gun. But yeah, that's a disadvantage. I guess you could say the short barrel might not give you as good of expansion as you might want to get out of your round. And the sight radius is going to make the short sight radius and short barrel is going to make it hard for long-distance shooting. But that ain't what it's designed for. This gun is designed for very deep concealment when you can't carry your bigger guns, and I've always subscribed to the philosophy that some gun is better than no gun, and this car P380 it solves the some gun problem, and it's very, very high quality. So again, built to very tight tolerances. Just a fantastic little pistol. Can't recommend it strongly enough. And so, that's pretty much going to wrap up this episode on the Car Arms pistols. Hopefully I've given you some things to think about. You know, Car on their website has a slogan that says, "Thin is sexy." I want you to check that out. Thin is sexy. There's some other sexy things to look at on Car's website other than their pistols, and I will let you check that out. Sorry to all my female listeners out there. I know I've got some. Please don't take that the wrong way. It didn't mean it that way. I'm just saying it's Car is doing a real good job with their marketing, let's put it that way. But the thinness really is the biggest selling point of these car pistols, in my humble opinion. By the way, before I close, I will say the 380 is even thinner than the 9mm. So another big, huge plus there. Okay, thank you for listening to this episode of the Handgun World Show. Folks, my name is Bob Main, and I'm your host. And why do I carry a gun? It's easy. Because I can't carry a cop. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.